Hey kings from around the planet, welcome to this digital campfire that we're always on a weekly basis sitting down together and enjoying each other's presence. It might sound funny that I keep speaking to this like enjoying each other's presence, because as you're listening to this, obviously there's an individual experience, but energetically I want you, I invite you in to tap in that, you know, you're part of a movement now. Just looking at the stats coming in, they're humble numbers, but they're potent numbers at the same time. You know, in a day and age of social media where, you know, it has to go viral, and if it doesn't have a million likes and a million, you know, all these shares and stuff, the numbers game can be skewed really severely and be rendered meaningless in a way. But in the last 4 weeks, the 30 day stats coming in, it's like, I think it was 430 listens around the planet. And on a level that can sound, as I say, it's like in modern culture, the context can seem small. Yet I was just slowing down myself and thinking about it. It's like, that's 80, 85, 90 guys, you know, up to 100 men, family men around the planet, listening in and implementing and, you know, sowing seeds of progress and presence in the presence of their woman, in the presence of their family. And that's 85 to 95, 100 family units that are feeling a little bit better, a little bit safer. A woman feeling a little bit more honored and feeling safer around her masculine, her king, the kingly presence in her life that she's devoting her life to being with. That's 85 to 100 guys, you know, coming into kingship, feeling a bit better, feeling more powerful in themselves, more directional, more intentional in your lives, owning your truth. That's a potent number of people. If that was just a number and we kept doing this for the next 5 years, you know, like, I've just got 100 family units, you know, vibrating, aligned, feeling, you know, love and joy and more present, man, that impact by itself would be enormous. Yet part of this movement, and like you in your individual listening, as you keep listening in, you build the momentum of this movement. This movement is not going to be capped at just 100 per week. 100 is substantial. It's an amazing feat. It's an amazing, I'm proud of me and I'm proud of you, and I honor you and your part of this dance. You know, if you don't click play on your side, I don't have anything. Why would I be doing this? So it's like, we're doing this dance together, and this movement is made. We're all playing our part. So thank you. My depth of gratitude for you for listening in and implementing. Yet beyond this, you know, my 5 year vision is that there'd be 10 million listens per week. How the fuck am I going to do that? I'm going to figure that shit out. That's my challenge. I'm going to be putting out direct requests to yourselves listening in to, you know, to share it on with powerful men in your space, in your community. But that's going to be a chat for another day. In essence, it's amazing what's happening. The momentum is building. I'm appreciating you coming in. So you're welcome to another potent episode. This episode is like, it's a massive moment for myself personally. It's a massive moment for the Be the Husband She Brags About movement, what we're all co-creating here. It's me introducing my system. I realized over the last number of years, is like, as my marriage was getting better and better, my sex life getting better and better, my capacity to communicate with my queen, I mean, it's off the charts compared to, it's like night and day. My parenting, like overcoming the amount of trauma that I had caused within my daughters to be able to be grounded and so present and so safe in their presence, that their tendency to dissociate and to go into bubbles and be non-responsive and reactive, that's getting better and better. My physical shape, etc. Whole life. I mean, a lot done, a lot more to do, but I started realizing, it's like, oh wow, there's so much of the stuff that I'm doing, and everything is getting better, progressively better and better and better and better. Like, you know, as the days, weeks, months goes into the years, it's always better. And it's like, I really want I really, you know, like my deepest wish is for you and your individual life and your beautiful inner world experience, and then interacting with your beautiful queen and your kids and your community beyond that, as you, you know, pursue your mastery, your marriage and your mission, those three tenets of powerful conscious masculinity. My deepest desire is that, you know, you feel progress. You feel this unstoppable sense of hope in you that no matter what you're experiencing today, no matter how intense that is, no matter how unlikable parts of your marriage might be today or your married life experience in general, no matter how intense it is, I really want to engender within you and help connect you with some part of you that, with some perspective that you just know, okay, it's intense today, but I can endure today because I know tomorrow's going to be a little bit better. And, you know, if tomorrow's going to be a little bit better, well, if you can get this momentum going where you're just planting seeds of progress and presence with your woman, with your kids, etc., you know, you do that over 30 days, diligently. You're not taking weeks off to just, like, slump back into old-style mediocrity and, you know, a depressed state or a lack of like a state of hopelessness where it's just same shit, different day. No. This is like a disciplined every single day you're planting these seeds of progress and presence. I mean, you know that your life is going to be getting better and better. What I realized when I slowed down was a system is needed. What I was doing, I was actually doing things in a way, and I just started slowing down and I was like, I can't support you guys get to the height of your potential if I can't explain exactly, like, what is the systematic way that I go at it. And today, I've been reflecting on this. I suppose I've been reflecting on it for, it's coming of age for so many years. Like, I can't, it's not just the last 3 years. I've been studying stuff for the last 10, 11, 12 years, etc. So it's like the culmination of what my education in life, not education by degree level, but my education in life and just hunting down the teachers, the coaches, the mentors, the deep men's work. You know, it's the culmination of what I've learned thus far that I implement in my marriage, in my path of mastery, in my mission that I want to impart to you. Is it like the final version? Is it an absolute truth? No. But is it a system that has been rigorously tested in the most challenging type of deeply traumatized relationship you can imagine? Yes, that's my relationship that I have lived out. And this system has been birthed within deep, deep, incredible levels of trauma. And it has worked in that realm. And it's working for guys that I coach one-on-one. The reflections from this system work powerfully for guys that are in deep men's work with me. So I'm really, really pumped and excited to share that with you today. One thing to accept as a man when you're showing up as a husband. And it's so important to accept this and surrender to this point. Because I feel that almost 100% of all problems that guys perceive, and you'll see problems that guys perceive, there's no inherent problem in marriage, it's in the perception, where the perception of married life being a problem and your wife being a problem comes predominantly from this idea that one of the deep unconscious beliefs is, oh, well, you know, I should have just been done, you know, like once you get married, you know, like that's the destination, that's the starting point. But there can be this unquestioned deep down assumption or belief that, man, you know, like, why is it so hard? And deep down it was like, man, I loved her, I proposed to her, she said yes, you know, like the whole idea was, let's live happily ever after. We get our little nest, we get our place, we get a job, she gets a job, we have a couple of kids, we do, and it'll just work out fine, you know. Fairy tale, we've been conditioned, live happily ever after. And they went off riding into the sunset and they lived happily ever after, the prince and the princess. Well, unfortunately, the cartoons and the films don't follow the prince and his new chosen princess to, you know, 3 months later and 12 months later when, you know, the shit hits the fan and wounds come up and all the realities of human existential inner world crisis comes up on an individual level, and like you bring that in a couple. This is not to plan to this is actually not to put black or put a black stain on what it means to be married. It's actually it's really important to get real. Except it's an exceptional challenge of heroic proportions to create a marriage as you individually within yourself and by extension hold a space so your woman can have the same, you know, respect and her inner world variables. You know, respect is the unique wounds each of you have, the likes, the dislikes, the needs for space, and paradoxically also the needs for intimacy, for closeness, the passions, your individual and collective needs for healing, the incessantly evolving expressions of yourself as you go along in life. You know, the you now and the you when you met your woman first, and herself now and when she met you first. It's like you're different people, true? Like there's different passions, there's different interests. As you go on the healing path, you discover there's new parts of you that you had suppressed for years. So how do you bring all of that new stuff and that stuff that you're remembering about your past and bringing back out and do that with your woman and stay connected and stay sexually attracted with each other and supportive of each other's growth and expansion, not fearfully going, oh my God, if she gets any more confident and any fitter and any, you know, more empowered, you know, will she love me anymore and vice versa? It's an intense challenge, yet it's a challenge that is absolutely imperative to meet. It's in my local community, there's two young couples with kids that, I mean, I grieve it deeply. The couples are after breaking apart. Now, I don't know the inside story. I don't know what's going on in their lives, and so there's no judgment, but I grieve deeply when this happens because I have this inner knowing that in 99% of the cases it's completely unnecessary. And I speak to this because my deepest wish is that you not only can survive and create a marriage that survives, but I want you to thrive, and I want your wife and kids to thrive and be radically free in your authentic expression and your truth and your wishes and your desires and, you know, what your mission is and what you were born, you know, the music that you were born to play, and, you know, the song and dance in you, whatever your creative highest self is here to gift the world, that your marriage, the container of your marriage, is set up so rigorously and structured in such a way that that beautiful have it all of existence is true and available to you and every member of your family. But it will not be available to you or your wife or your kids, and thus your influence in your community, that will not be there without a system. The system, if you come from a masculine-feminine awareness, I just want to explain a little bit of the mechanics, then I'll get into the pillars of the system. You know, the feminine is the chaos. It's the non-stop change. Feminine is movement, incessant change, transformation. It never sits still. Feminine is nature. It's the storm, it's the seasons, it's the cycles, it's the rain, it's the sun, it's the, you know, it's like decomposes it into growth, death, growth. That's feminine. That's the world. And that's the masculine is structure, is consciousness, is stillness. It's what gives the masculine gives structure for the feminine to have its fullest expression in a safe manner. And in life, it's essential, you know, your feminine is your creative, intuitive, wild self and that of your wife and that of your kids. It's important to have a structure, a masculine structure, a structured way of being, a way of living, a way of showing up where you can give shape and structure and create a safe space where that madness and wildness and, you know, unpredictability can come true, where desires and needs and wishes and wants and, you know, cathartic releases, whatever, is safe. You know, it's welcomed, and it doesn't, the system doesn't crumble. What so often happens is when a guy doesn't have a system, it doesn't have a conscious system, actually has no system at all, any change in the family, any change in relationship status, any change, any new desire, it becomes a, like, it's a pain every single time. It's a pain and suffering. So the system really gives you the platform to create your most beautiful life experience. And that's really what I'm wanting for you. So let's jump in. Let's have some fun. We'll go through all the different pillars, and, you know, I invite you in to, as always, engage with this and engage, not passively listening, going, oh, I'm just here for an information download from Mark, blah, blah, blah. No, never that. And I constantly remind you of that, and I make no apology, because we need these reminders not to go passive in the learning. Passive learning is not learning. When you're listening in, sort of be querying, going, okay, well, okay, in that segment that Mark is speaking to now, you know, truly, with heroic humility, you know, the grounded truth of where you're at, where am I at with that? Where's the, if I bring that category into my life, do I have that nailed? Where am I on a scale of 1 to 10 type thing? Just getting real with yourself. Getting real, not to shame yourself, not to go, oh, fuck, more reflection back of where I'm not at. No, no, no. It's important to know where you're at so you can start making progress from there. With that, let's jump in. The structure, there's mastery if you play with the sort of pyramid style thing. Mastery is at the bottom. Marriage is in the second segment of that pyramid. And at the top, you've got mission. Very often, as men, we go to mission. We go to work. We go to, you know, our sporting endeavors, our physical endeavors. It's all external mission outside of the house that we end up predominantly comfort zoning there. Because why? Hypermasculine engagement, vision, problem solving, etc. A lot of the time, you know, the mission in work, in corporate world, etc., etc., we can shine there and get an overkill of dopamine and all these beautiful experiences as men, which are sacred, but we render and we sort of ignore mastery, and we ignore marriage. The base of the pyramid, your foundation, is mastery. Within that, we've got stillness, sight, shape, state, and story. Let's do a breakdown of these. Stillness. Stillness is spirituality in many senses. Stillness, it's the king's practice, is being stillness inside in the face of every feminine storm. And every feminine storm is the feminine storm of your woman, of your queen. She's free to go into that unapologetic, unpredictable, irrational feminine shitstorm. And you're fine with that. She gives you stinging feedback. You're fine with that. Direct feedback that, you know, is there to support her king grow to your divinely, godly, highest essence. You get fine with that, and you practice. The king's practice is being stillness. It's not that you have to be there. It's your practice. It's an intense practice. The core masculine practice is being the witnessing awareness. It's the consciousness that's looking on at life. It's embodied consciousness that's looking on, first and foremost, at your own feminine. I'm going to talk about the, you know, your state, your emotions, and your story, your own craziness, your own wild emotions and inner story and inner critic, that you can be the inner stillness that looks on at your craziness inside and is unperturbed. You're fine. You're at one, or your practice is being at one, whatever shitstorm is happening inside of you. You're fine. You're not going to beat yourself up. It is what it is. You're aware of the story. You're aware of the emotions. There's no crisis. You're coming from stillness. And from there, your practice is showing up in deep, intimate conversation with your woman. Your practice is going out into the arena of life. And you always are grounded from this practice of remembering and coming from inner stillness. Inner stillness is sort of like the inner world experience that is reflected back, like, you know, silence in the external world. You go out at night, you're experiencing solitude, and you find silence, apart from a couple of crickets or whatever those nighttime. I don't know if they're crickets. Anyway, whatever. There's silence or just a bit of wind that you're listening to, or the rippling of water going by, but there's a silence there. You know, cars and, you know, people shouting and talking and media and music and all of that noise is not there. It's natural. And in fact, when you go into nature and you find solitude in nature, you find inner stillness. Silence on the outside engenders and encourages stillness on the inside. In many senses, that's why it's such a potent practice. And with guys I coach and in men's groups, one of the feedbacks that I give very often is just find moments of solitude for yourself. You know, in the chaos of modern life, so many husbands are feeling massive overwhelm. You go from the chaos of work, you get into the car, you listen to music on the way back, and you don't have any solitude to yourself, and you just jump in, and then there's overwhelming demands of parenting, and your wife is there, and you have to hold space for her, when you haven't had space for you. And we wonder why we don't experience inner peace, and we experience so much overwhelm. That's a lack of connection with stillness. There's so many ideas. I want to touch base with you. It's like, do you have a conscious training or a practice that brings that experience, a felt experience of stillness? Like, do you seek regular weekly solitude, being in nature? Do you have a meditation practice that properly drops you in? Breath work or studying of inspiring teachings, inspirada, that in spirit brings you to the spirit. Spiritual teachings, you know, there's a lot of times it can be head-led. If you, what I'm asking you is, with the stuff that you read, do you feel like a felt inner peace where it's like, oh man, every time I go to that book or that teaching or that passage, I just mystically come out the far side, I'm back at one with life, inner stillness. Sort of playfully background, you know, 1 to 10, where are you at with this conscious practice of inner stillness so you can be stillness in the face of every feminine shitstorm in your relationship and in life? Going on, second one, sight. Leaning in, and here's the thing, it's like, if it was possible for me to get a recording of exactly where your eyes are looking, not a camera on top of your head like a GoPro or one of those, no, an exact copy, a video recording of exactly where your eyes focus during your day. If you could give me a recording of that, and I watched just one day of your life, maybe a day where, you know, you're with your woman, you're at work, you're out in some social scenarios, you go out for coffee at lunch and on your lunch break, whatever, and you come back home, and how you interact with your kids and with work and with media, with social media, etc. And I got a printout of that. I could tell you from that printout of where your visual attention goes during one day of your life, I could tell you the depth and quality of your intimate relationship with your woman from just that data. That's why I have sight, visual sight. There's also a nod and a bow to inner vision. You know, vision, we talk about having a vision for life, because an inner vision gives commands to our sight where it's to look. But just wanting you to slow down with this, you know, what would I be seeing in that recording of a standard day for you? If yourself and myself were looking at that recording, would there be moments of you going, oh man, I know what's coming up here. You know, this is when I clicked for, I thought it was going to be just like a couple of minutes of porn in between. And then, you know, I didn't leave that car park for another 45 minutes. Oh, I'm feeling awkward about that. Looking at porn. How do you interact with social media? How do your eyes interact with social media? You know, what are the images, the photos, the videos that catch your eye? You know, are you looking at tits and ass, and they're there. And like, there's no shaming of this. There's your masculine cord, man. There's sexual attraction. You know, if you want to say beautiful, fit women, and like, I mean, that natural, beautiful, sacred part of you, but it's been tapped into by an industry that taps in and knows what the clothes are, the color skin, the, you know, the type of setup, the posture, the way she's to look, the way she's to interact, to bring the, to like skyrocket that attractiveness. That's how it sell, that's how we connect. So it's a natural sacred part of your being, but how do you interact with that? Do your eyes end up going? Do you end up you know, staying longer and conditioning your nervous system to this almost impossible, you know, like a vision of an impossible on a pedestal example of a woman, of normally younger women, women that haven't had kids, you know, like, and you condition your nervous system to that as like the pedestal of beauty to go home, and then you feel a bit repulsed with your woman. Also, one major thing of not, like, when I talk about sight is, you know, my question is, do you have a vision, a 12-month vision, a 5-year vision for your marriage with your woman, your deep intimate relationship? What do you want that to look like in 12 months' time, in 5 years' time? What do you want your married life, your collective life together to look like? Both are quite similar, but they're quite different. It's like married life is the whole life. It can involve parenting, like a whole heap of stuff. And then just the relationship. Just you and me and you forever. You know, how are we, how do you want yourself and your wife to be relating in that on that future horizon? Because if you don't have a vision for that 12 month, for that 5 year, and some guys give kickback, they're like, oh, but you know, like that vision, I don't like setting a vision because, you know, they get politically correct and a bit uptight with this. It's like, oh, you know, I don't like having a vision because how am I meant to know? Well, that's okay. But if you don't have some sort of a vision, and I know that vision is going to constantly evolve, but if you don't have some sort of a vision, well, then your eyes, without an inner vision imprinted in your nervous system, it doesn't know what to look for. Eyes with a vision look for opportunities for traction, opportunities that if they go in and investigate that opportunity, you will move towards that vision. Eyes without vision just go to distraction, and hence porn, social media. I mean, if you're out in coffee, like, what would that printout be of that video recording? Do you know, if you're out with mates, or, you know, even arguably even worse, you're out with your woman, and, you know, a nice looking, attractive young waitress comes by, and she has a skirt on, and like, where does your eyes glance? You know, your woman is looking away. Where do your eyes glance? Are there, you know, when you see attractive young women around you, do your eyes glance over? Are you in integrity with your woman when she's not looking? These are important things. As I say, this is why I bring embodied masculinity into this system. It's so potently important that us as men, we become aware of our vision. We become aware of the impact it has in our marriage and our married lives, where we are placing our visual attention. It changes everything in mission, mastery, and marriage. So there's quite a bit there. there's a massive enthusiasm in me to go really deep on all of these. I just want to give like an introduction, a bit of an insight as to where it is. But playfully, where would you score yourself 1 to 10 on discipline, capacity to keep a live vision and keep your attention on opportunities for connection and expansion within your intimate relationship and your married life? What would you score yourself on that? There again, get radically honest with yourself. The next one is shape. Shape is physical shape in many senses. That's the most rudimentary way of looking at it. It's absolutely imperative. Like, the King's Practice is training for a strong and resilient body to endure the rigorous challenges of married life and mission engagement. It's essential that you maintain throughout your whole life a training a minimal amount of physical training every day to keep high tone in your muscles, high responsiveness to the challenges of life. It sort of goes like quite a number of guys will get this. Sometimes you can over relate with it. You know, it's part of that external mission where your fitness goals, your sporting goals and endeavors, you know, your mountain climbing trip takes on a hyper importance and you actually start ignoring what's happening at home. You know, there can be work there. Some guys can go, oh, I'm 10 out of 10 in shape. Well, how are you relating within that? There actually can be work within that. So I bring that bit of a reflection to you. However, if you're nailing physical shape, cool. It's not all about physical shape. The shape pillar of this system is not all about physical shape. It's your shape in relating with your woman, your posture. When you're in conflict with your queen, you know, are you aware of your posture? And if you have no awareness, that shape, your bodily shape is communicating disconnection, is communicating frustration, is communicating aggression, is communicating a lack of emotional safety for your woman. So if you're not aware of how your shape is, your physical shape and posture is in every communication with your woman, very often what's happening, it's communicating a lack of safety. And that brings your woman constantly, repeatedly into emotional shutdown. And then you wonder why you're giving out about her that much. Why is she so irrational in conversations with you? Well, this is why shape is one of the pillars of the system, because your awareness of your posture and your physical shape in conversing with her is essential. Because when you can become aware of your shape, it's like, oh, I've clenched my fists. Okay, relax them. Oh, I've folded my arms. I'm looking at the clock. I'm looking at the door. I'm like, clearly, my feet are pointed towards the door, not towards my woman. And actually, coming back to the sight, I'm not making visual engagement with her. Or I'm looking at her in a sharp way, not a soft, open-hearted visual way. Just bringing in the sight into shape as well a little bit. It impacts everything in your marriage. If you're showing up and your shape, your physical shape is communicating disconnection, is communicating that you're in shutdown, that you're aggressive, you're deeply frustrated, you're pissed with your woman, your judgment, you're judging her, she's not safe. Guys, that's unhappily ever after. That only gets a little bit worse, a little bit worse, a little bit worse. And over time, it's like that disconnection. Either people just put up and shut up and you get to a stagnant sort of like, okay, you just are avoiding each other's drama and you live unhappily ever after. Or the conflict gets worse and worse and worse and you split, as I've seen in my community recently. And that none of those two options, unhappily ever after, oh my God, it's like, it might even be the worst case scenario. Better mad conflict and get rid of it and just onto a next relationship. But obviously, it's like when you have a loving woman there, get aware of it so you're communicating safe, open-hearted engagement for your woman. You're holding a shape that is a conscious masculine structure where she's safe to share her heart with you like no other human being. That's what you want. So in physical shape and postural awareness, there's other reflections on shape. They're potent key awarenesses that you have to be aware of and be consciously practicing them in married life. Where are you 1 to 10 in shape? Again, just being honest, being playful with it. Going on to the next one, state. Awareness of state. State is energy and emotional state. The king's practice is self-regulated energy control to gift his highest enthusiasm and sexual drive to his woman and the world. You know, there's a lot of talk for the last 20, 30 years about time management. If like in business books, leadership, peak performance, they say, oh, time management. Time management is just, it's in the bygone era to a point. There's a part relevance, but energy management, state, awareness, and practices that optimize your inner state, your emotional state, they're key for your performance in life in general. It's especially important in deep, intimate relating. It's, you know, on one level, to oversimplify, just for the sake of conciseness here, there's like two segments of state. there's the physiological structuring your life that, you know, you have enough sleep, you have a nap habit. Those two things. One of the, like, we're in an epidemic of lack of sleep, lack of resting. And that is creating massive subconscious emotional reactivity. Just that factor in itself. If that's the only thing you took from this episode and you went, okay, I'm going to like get 8 hours sleep, I'm going to start napping, that would be enough to wipe, for me, just napping during the day and getting a bit more sleep at night. Just the nap during the day, for sure, eliminated 90% of my emotional reactivity in the evenings. Amazing. That's where most conflict happens. When you go home, you're shattered, you're fizzing physically, mentally, emotionally, you're shagged. And then you have to show up in the arena for, you know, in marriage and parenting, like household chores, etc. You're just so tired. Add into that a conflict in, you know, it's the one moment you get, your woman gets to give you feedback or talk about a certain awkward thing. I mean, your energy system is totally fatigued and exhausted. It's a recipe for conflict. It's a recipe for disengagement, for disconnection. So there are those physiological parts that it's essential that you tend to and become aware of. And like, there's diet, there's general attitude, etc. Sort of like the psychology and the physiology of it. Getting more into the psychology and the emotional aspect, the second part of state is your capacity as a man to be comfortable in your own discomfort. I mentioned this earlier with the stillness. Can you find the stillness in the middle of you having, you know, a high level of shame present in you? You're feeling a deep emotional charge of rejection. But can you feel that emotional charge, the discomfort of that emotional charge that's live in you as you're conversing with your woman, as you're, you know, in at home and in other parts, but we're talking about married life here. Can you be present with high charge, deeply uncomfortable emotions in you and still be fine and present to be loving and open-hearted in communication with your woman? This is being comfortable in your own discomfort. This is mastery of state, mastery of emotional risings in your body and being fine with that. You're going to find that, you know, this is an essential life skill. All the amazing men that you read books about and you listen to in podcasts, and it's like, you know, ex Navy SEAL commanders that were out in Iraq, or, you know, UFC champions, Olympic champions, sporting heroes, etc., etc. It's what we admire so much about them is like they, it's not that they're robots. They learn to master being really comfortable with being uncomfortable in those moments. It's not that they don't have fear, that they don't have anxiety, that they don't have shame coming up. It's to learn to hold space for that, get the job done anyway, and lead people and inspire people around them no matter what's happening on their inside. It's key leadership. And like, what is married life about if not leadership? So state, where are you at on that? Like 1 to 10, playfully putting it there. Make sure, you know, when you're grading yourself, it's playful. You know, the inner critic that goes, oh man, you know, like, and sometimes the inner critic can sort of rule it and go, oh, I'm an 8. When in actual fact, like, you're actually down at a 4. Like, give yourself the 4, but give it playfully. Get playful. It's really important to be playful with your inner growth and awareness, and get comfortable. That's part of actually being comfortable in your own discomfort. The final part of the mastery, the base of the pyramid, is story. Just going to slow down and get my... Story. So we went through stillness, sight, visual sight and inner vision, shape, physical shape and posture awareness and state, that inner mastery, energy management and being comfortable with your own discomfort. Story is the level of thoughts. Thoughts are the things that, they're the parts of your expression that create your reality. The King's practice is committing to a lifetime of deep inner work to remember the highest story he was born to tell. The issue in this society that we all have individually and collectively grown up in, it's a profoundly sick society. Just look around you. Look at the level of divorce, separation. Look at the rates of physical sickness, mental, emotional illness. I mean, it's off the charts. It's phenomenal. Look at the environment. Well, the environment, could that not be reflecting back, you know, how profoundly sick this society is? And I'm not here to talk about, like, in a negative hopelessness. Actually, there's great hope when men like you, like us all together collectively, step into mastery. Because we are the guys. This is why I say, you know, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. When you step into mastery, you leave a path behind you where your kids, where people in your community can not follow you in a sheep-like manner, but like can follow your lead, can follow your path of how you reached your married life success, your parenting success, and they can then choose to emulate you. This is amazing. But growing up in a profoundly sick society, you've got to be aware that it takes a deep inner work to overcome the conditioning that you're not good enough as a man. You're not worthy of happiness, of massive inner freedom and inner peace, and you're not worthy of having your voice heard in the world. You know, there's been, I've spoke to it in other episodes, I don't need to go into the depth of it, but the mechanisms of shaming of masculinity are profoundly etched into the modern mass media and the way, call it the patriarchal society. That's not men. I go with Jordan Peterson on that. It's like you can't brandish all men bad because of the patriarchal system of domination and control in modern life. You cannot. It's a very, very, very small number of predominantly men in the world stage, and there's women in there as well now, but they're coming from that, they've jumped 2 feet into that systematic way of control and domination. There's been an incredible shaming of masculinity. You only have to look at male handshake over the last 40, 50 years. A male handshake has decreased in power. Our confidence, our warrior essence, our vitality. You know, a handshake, you know, a good handshake. My dad, I don't know about your dad, but my dad used to always say, oh, you can tell a lot about a man from his handshake. He like emphasized with me, like a good handshake. One of the teachings of my dad that I really loved. The handshake of modern men has decreased by something like 22% over 40 years. Women's handshakes have increased almost the opposite way. Now, kudos to women. It's I'm all for female empowerment. My beautiful woman, I'm all about her goddess and queenly expression. World, yeah, brilliant. World is a better place, and my girls as well. Men, we're on the wrong way. Testosterone. That's another thing, like this story of shame that we have been indoctrinated with. Testosterone levels have, some they're down by 40% over like 60 years in Western civilization. It's catastrophic. So it's essential to get in on that story, that inner awareness of your thoughts. If you're having thoughts of shame, they're probably not yours. You've learned those thoughts. You've learned to turn against yourself as a defense mechanism of people shaming and blaming you when you were growing up. Parents, teachers, coaches, bullies, it can be sexual abuse. That's not your shit. But it's essential for you to master marriage and married life and your mission and self-mastery to become aware that story, the thoughts in your life are creating, are writing the story of the life that you are living out every single day, of the marriage you're living out, the deep intimate relationship you're living out. Key thing here is you're eliminating blame. Eliminate blaming, like these thoughts of putting your woman down. She's fucking like, it's what she needs to change. It's like all that's wrong in the world, what's wrong with your kids, what's wrong with finances, what's wrong. It's blaming. You go nowhere. You eliminate blame. You learn to navigate shame. Shame, thoughts of shame are sort of going to be floating around, you know, for a long time to come. It's learning to navigate them, not to follow them, not to go against them, like heap shame on shame. Oh, I shouldn't be having these thoughts. To be kind with them, to hold space, to come from that space of inner stillness and go, hey, you know, there's a thought of shame. I'm not going to follow that. And then initiate claiming thoughts that, well, where am I not being responsible? Where do I need to show up and respond more powerfully? start thinking that way. Start asking questions that brings your story into, how can I show up more powerfully? Okay, what does that look? What's the next action I need to take in my marriage to show up more powerfully, to create a beautiful connection with my woman? Ah, King's Kiss. Ah, I'll start appreciating her. Thoughts of claim changes everything. So story, inner mastery. You have stillness as a variable. You upgrade sight, your vision, shape, state, story. Now that sets the platform for an amazingly beautiful experience coming into marriage. You know, like the talk about marriage comes now. All of that is like inner world awareness, stillness, sight, shape, state, and story. That's all within you. The rest is, you know, you're responsible for the rest also. But you just see that this, you build your inner world foundation first. That's like primary. The primary masculine and feminine relationship, going back to the other teachings I've said to you before, primary masculine feminine relationship, inner world. It's you in your inner world with state and story coming up, your shape, your sight, your finding stillness. That's your inner world awareness. Then the secondary masculine-feminine relationship, it's secondary. You can only show up in deep intimate relationship with your woman and navigate that tactfully with wisdom that you're constantly going towards connection when you're beginning, at least putting the focus on, practicing self-mastery first. That's where most marriages fall apart, and most men, the majority of men, are experiencing daily overwhelm in marriage. Why? Because you're trying to change your marriage, but you're not doing adequate self-awareness work within yourself. It must be primary work first, and then the outer, your secondary masculine-feminine relationship, i.e. your marriage, will change, your sex life will change. In marriage, what awarenesses? What are the parts of the system? Sex. I call it sexual polarity. I want to just leave it at one word. I call it sex. The King's practice is creating lifelong attraction through deep sexual polarity practice and awareness with his queen. I ask you, how many times does your dad or your stepdad or some significant male mentor in your life take you to the side once or many times and slowly but surely educate you in the ways of relating with a woman consciously? Like what attracts a woman? What repulses a woman? And like there's the initial phases of the dating. Well, okay, if you're married, well, you nailed that. Well done. Kudos to you. If that was a challenge, and it is, I know it was a bloody challenge for me. I met the challenge, I got here. But like, you've always, I bow to you meeting that initial challenge. But the major challenge is, how do you navigate a long-term relationship with one woman that you're constantly sowing seeds of attraction and never going to, you know, phases of repulsion where you're just not feeling each other. You're just not. It's like less and less. It's like, oh, like, where is the fire gone? So many men just like, where did the passion go? Where did the fire go? We used to feel connected, and like marriages end up falling into long droughts of sexual connection where it's like, yeah, it's like it just becomes an odd event every now and then, almost just because it's like, oh yeah, we sort of have to. But it's not anything near the radically alive, deep sexual connection that could be there, that would be there if you knew the mechanics of it. If you knew the, like, there's millennia old teachings. But if you keep showing up and going at it in a masculine way, I've made this distinction before, the masculine way is fire. Like, there's the elements. Masculine way is fire, the woman's way is more water. Masculine ways, you can light a fire super quick and get going, boom, you ejaculate, you orgasm, you know, you die into bliss in the bed there beside her. That's fire. Quick light, quick stimulation, rub, 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 and genie pops out of the, what the fuck do you call it, the genie in the lamp. That's the masculine way, and when you over lean into that way of relating sexually with your woman, the woman Women are the first ones to disengage in sexual relating. Why? Because they get bored. They're like water. Water is, you need to keep water hot, you need to keep it hot. Keep it bubbling hot. You know, the hot water in your system. Keep the immersion, keep the electric current or the heater, keep it hot all the time. It loses way less energy to keep water hot and available for use all the time than it is to let it cool down and now it's really cold. Oh, you want to have a bath now and like in half an hour you have to put massive amount of electrical power into it to bring it back up to hot. That's the woman, a woman's sexual system. Most men go with the fire. It's like, oh, date night, let's light a fire. The woman's water system, water in her sexual system is down, super cold. This is like rudimentary awareness, but 99.99% of husbands don't know this, and it creates massive disconnection sexually with their woman. It creates a lot of hurt, a lot of rejection. Your inner child is fucking traumatized by it, her inner child, and it's horrible. It's just downright horrible and nowhere near the beautiful experience it can be for you, but with awareness. And there's tons more of simple distinctions where it's like, ah, okay, wow, had I known that. It's like, don't challenge your woman. Don't challenge her with, like, you should do this. Hey, just go lose weight, or you need to be more disciplined, and why are you so untidy? No, you support your woman to, if you want to say, to transform and to change by looking for the opportunities when you see a certain behavior that it's like, wow, if she did that more often, she'd be a bit fitter. She did that more often, she'd be a bit more organized. And the thing, like, you know, that thing that you know would help her and you know would help, there's the king in you knows. If she did more of that behavior, it would help the whole household. It would help the running of life. It would help her parenting and your capacity to show up as people together. Praise her on that. Don't challenge her and prod her directly with, oh, I'm going to be radically direct. This is what works at work. I'm just going to give you masculine feedback. Keep your masculine feedback for work. Praise her. Women grow through praise. Again, this is an awareness of a sacred dynamic. Your masculine feedback, at times, it's potent for your woman, but she has to be so safe. But knowing this, you go, ah, okay, so if I systematically, you know, my strategy is I'm going to praise her into the thing. So I praise her little and often. Wow. Over 6 months, over 12 months. I'm still like astounded. Like appreciation and praise for my queen. It's just like it's multiple times a day. It's like tons of it. And everything is going much better. Rarely. Now, because I do that, she actually receives my direct feedback way easier. But you start and you build a foundation of praise. These are fundamental ways of sexual polarity teachings that, because if you're not taught them, you don't know them, and then you end up creating same shit, different day frustration, and unhappily ever after. You don't want that. Next one is speech. Speech as a pillar. The king's practice is speaking first to understand, then to take responsibility, and then finally to speak radical truth. I spoke into this recently in a different episode. It's like, it's key. The practice of most guys is, and I know myself for years, you know, you have no awareness of inner state, where you are emotionally. You have no awareness of shape, like your posture is aggressive, is in total closure, you're looking to go out the door, blah, blah, blah. You have no inner stillness. So you're highly reactive, and there's no silence in conversations. And then you speak. And what do you speak to? The vast majority of the time, you speak your truth first. You might speak to blame her, which actually you cut out her truth to make room for your truth. It's like, hey, I don't agree. Like, what the fuck are you talking about that for? This is the truth. This is my opinion. This is what we need to do in this situation. This is the only interpretation of that awkward scene that happened at the party last night. This is the interpretation that is true. My interpretation. It's like we go with our truth first in speech by default. And we wonder why there's so much conflict and why she never receives our truth. And so many men have this deep frustration. She never receives my truth. And we point to moments when, Oh, but like I do tell her directly. Yeah, but you did it with all the rest of the other stuff that made it unsafe for her. So yes, you did utter, and you might have been radically direct with like a really succinct, direct communication verbally. You did not prepare any of the ground for her to be able to feel safe to receive your direct truth. Roundabout syndrome, same shit, different day. And it only breeds frustration and separation and disconnection. Speech. Speak first to understand. Ask her. Get curious. Oh, what were you meaning about that? My beautiful, where in my ignorance, a bit of humor, you know, like, where in my ignorance have I not heard you fully? I still feel that you're trying to say, but I just haven't understood you. Can you help me? Reflect back to her. Oh, you know, I believe I heard you say, and you reflect what you believe you heard her say. That gives her an opportunity to go, yeah, perfect. That's actually a great crystallization of what I said. She feels heard. She's trusting you. Or she goes, well, not really. I don't think. Maybe I've communicated. No, this is what I really mean. She's gaining opportunity to be understood. You speak to your woman, prioritizing understanding her first and making sure she feels understood first. I guarantee you, within a very short period of time, you know, you practicing that, she's going to feel safe and she's going to be really curious to know what you have to say. But it's the priority. This is in speech. Speak to understand first. Then speak to take responsibility. Hey, baby, you know, I understand I was a bit short and snappy with you there in the first couple of minutes of this. When you come in the door, that just triggered me when you said that thing, and I'm dropping in now. So, hey, sorry about that, but I'm fully present with you now. Speak to own whatever your part is. Was she triggered? Was she pissy with you? Was she out of line? Hey, that's her responsibility. Speak and own your part, your 100%. That's kingly responsibility, and you will see. You speak first to understand, then speak to take responsibility for the part that, you know, was a little bit out of alignment, your side, or maybe majorly out of alignment. Speak to that, own it, and then, and only then, speak your radical truth. Don't sugarcoat it. Well, don't go kamikaze style. You're not out to hurt. But just speak it with grounded energy and be direct. And then repeat. Speech. It's so important to get mastery of how you are speaking in your relationship. Changes everything. Those 3 points. Speak to understand. Then take responsibility. And then finally speak your truth. You do those in conversations regularly. Just that by itself can change everything. Again, it's the systematic way of showing up. Want to touch base with you guys? I really appreciate you listening in, and I appreciate this is... It's a longer episode, but I really want... I want to give, like, an episode. I want to give the whole lot to you. So I just want to touch base with you. Like, how are you doing? Quite a bit in this. You know, you can press stop now, come back and listen to the second half. All the different systems will just, like, you will reinstate your listening where you left it off. Come back to it. I just want to, you know, gift you the whole system. I want you with a full system where you can, like, self-assess and then upgrade all the different parts. This is one where you can listen to again and again, and there's going to be new awarenesses. As I'm speaking to certain stuff, your own intuition is going to be like, wow, yeah, I always speak my truth first. I hammer home, man, I can work in that, or state and story and all the other parts. I just want this to be an episode that triggers deepening self-awareness for you, to support you get a more complete system going forward. Going to the next one, funny enough, systems. Systems. The King's practice is setting up married life systems that create have it all on autopilot. Life systems that create connection. Life systems that create health and happiness and abundance. The practice is setting up married life systems because, you know, if you do things by default, the world out there is bombarding us with political hidden agendas, economic hidden agendas. There's like the health system has hidden agendas, and so much of the whole lot is just always it's profit oriented. And the vast, like, I would say 99% of it aims to disempower you, to disempower your family, to disempower you economically, to disempower your capacity to be radically happy, radically healthy. So you've got to set your systems up. This is a whole awareness, but within this, these are if-thens. And you're constantly finding marginal gains. You find points where, as a result of repeatedly showing up in a certain way, it creates disconnection, it creates disharmony, it creates rejection, it creates, no, having sex on date night doesn't go that way when I get prickly and, you know, I get argumentative. You set if-thens and you're like, oh, well, if I'm on date night, then I switch off my phone. I leave my phone in the car. Because why? Because my woman has given me feedback. She gets really pissed when I'm there and there's notifications coming through. I'm meant to be present with her. Then, if I'm on date night, then I leave that at home. If, you know, I mentioned in a recent episode, if I make a cup of coffee on the kitchen countertop, then I tidy away everything, because that changes everything. It doesn't leave a mess around for my wife, for my kids. It doesn't train my kids to do mimic daddy, mirror neurons. If it's good for daddy to leave a mess, well, then we leave a mess. And there's tons of if-thens. There are tons of marginal gains where you systematize, you set up a system where you don't have to go through the same problem again and again and again and again. So often when I coach men, really high achieving guys that systematize their way of work, but at home, it's like, they tell me about a problem. Oh, she gives out to me and like she's told me this. She's always at my case for this little thing. Let's just reflect back. It's like, okay, she's always at you for this little thing. Have you ever thought about changing how you go about this little thing? And guys will go quiet. You have these like powerful, potent, amazing men. The thought never came true to them. I know this was me for years, where it's like disgruntled, pissed off. She's always on my case for, you know, tidying up after me. She's always on my case for putting down the seat in the toilet. She's always on my case because, you know, I'm not ready for going out the door. She's always on my case. Well, if every guy has that, and I know you listening in, where is your woman always on your case about things that for you seem little? But have you ever set an if-then where it's like, hey, I'll just get more organized for going out the door. It irritates her a lot. Actually, have you ever looked at it and went, well, it could actually be good feedback. If I just got a bit more organized, wouldn't it prevent this annoyance all the time? So one if-then, if I'm going out the door, well, then I'll be organized 5 minutes beforehand. See how your wife will appreciate it. See how more competent she'll see you as being. Because as you do one thing, you do all things. And if you're refusing to change something that is systematically creating annoyance and disconnection, well, then you're doing a ton of other things that you're refusing to change. And these little things become the major things that just fuck up a marriage long term. And it can seem comical from the outside why people ended up, I've heard that, you know, ridiculous, they seem ridiculous, but it's like, oh, she divorced him because he wouldn't put the cap on the toothpaste. It's not the cap on the toothpaste, it's that she was giving him feedback, and she was giving him feedback on that and many, many other things. And yes, it's ridiculous, and yes, there's lots of trauma, and yes, it's stupid in one sense, but these little things, upgrade them. Set your systems that there's connection. Set your systems that there's attraction. Systematize habitual ways that every time you come in the door, you go to your woman and you kiss her. You give her a king's kiss. It's like a man coming back from battle. You honor her. You're happy to be home. That kiss just stops her. She doesn't want to tell you the gossip and all the small things or, you know, stuff that you probably aren't bothered with. You rock her to her core with a kiss every time. Every time going out to work, give her that kiss. Systematize connection. It makes life way simpler. Next part is stop signs. And what are stop signs? And like, why do they make it into the system? Stop signs are your practice systematized capacity to say no. There's multiple layers. The King's practice is unapologetically setting non-negotiable boundaries on anything that intrudes on his capacity to vigorously pursue mastery, marriage, and mission. To unapologetically set non-negotiable boundaries. Say no in such a powerful way that the world around you begins to know. You don't fuck with this guy in this point. No is no. On little things and big things. With in-laws, the so-called outlaws. With your own family. You know, with your own brothers, your own sister, your own parents. Where do their opinions and, you know, oh, well, I know Mark from years ago. You know, it's like, this is how Mark really is. You know, when I talk about myself, I've had lots of deeply challenging times with siblings and parents because of like this intrusive, they know who I am. They don't, actually. and like, I've had to set boundaries, distinct boundaries. Like, no, that does not work for me. No, I will not be going to such a social event where, you know, there's this type of, these types of opinions being incessantly intruded upon my space, my family space, opinions and lack of respect. It's like, I've set boundaries. That's really important. My woman feels safer now with my interactions with my family of origin than ever before. That has skyrocketed in the last year. That alone has skyrocketed her safety and her capacity to trust me in all senses in life. Stop signs, the number one pattern almost in, that's almost exclusive in most men. It's about 80 to 85% of men. Maybe 100% in some way, shape or form. Go to frustration first. Frustration. They have a no. You have a no. You have a no, I don't agree with that. No, I don't like that person. No, I don't really want to go to that thing. No, I don't think that's a good idea to parent our kids that way. No, spending our money on that. You're always spending your money on that. You have a no. There's a part of you that has a no. But very often, like, you might speak it a little bit, but it's spoken in a way that's unsafe, it's judgmental, or you just don't speak. You just, oh, for the sake of peace, I'm just so pissed. You go to frustration, and you create a library of frustration where repeatedly there are experiences where you have a no, there's anger there, but you go to frustration, you hide and suppress the anger, and you create this library, which is like every wave of anger that is not expressed and spoken to becomes frustration. Every wave becomes a tsunami. Builds up wave after wave after wave to build up and compound into a tsunami. And by Christ, do you know what comes out when the tsunami comes to town? And you can hold no more of those waves of anger and frustration. Aggression. You steamroller. You give out. Or resentment comes out. You just these bitey comments and judgmental comments. Why? Because you said no to so many things and then you just resent her. And then she asks for something or she says no and you're like, oh, fuck you. No, I'm doing that anyway. It gets resentful. It's such a poison in marriage. It's such a poison in deep intimacy. And this one alone, just getting good at being able to honor your anger and go, hey, look, I don't agree with that opinion, with that perspective, with this choice. I don't agree with that right now. I'm a no. Direct, safely. It's neutral for your woman. It's like she is safe. You can just speak your no powerfully. Also, in this system, it's becoming on a daily and weekly basis as a man, becoming aware what you need to say no to. Not even just in relationship with your woman, but what do you need to say no to so you can, you know, what are the things you're doing that stops you reaching mastery level? You know, laziness, procrastination, scrolling incessantly, addiction to social media, addiction to anything, just distractions, total behaviors of mediocrity that you know is like, oh man, when I keep doing that and I keep eating these shitty foods or I drink cyclically, I'm drinking way too much alcohol. You just know you need to say no to these things. That's why I have this in the system. It's essential. You gotta, on a weekly basis, reflect on what do I need to say no to? What am I ignoring? What wisdom and what no is being communicated inside to me repeatedly with this thing? I know better. There's a part of you knows better. On a weekly basis, having like a time and a space where you go, well, what no am I not honoring? How potently would that change your life? Would you stop porn? Would you stop addictions? Would you stop eating poorly? Would you stop being lazy? Would you stop, you know, ignoring your call to start a podcast, to write a book, to change your job? There's all of these no's that are being ignored. Super potent, super important. Moving on. Space. Just a few more. Honoring you, man. If you're listening the whole way through, I honor you. I just love your tenacity and your commitment and dedication to your inner growth to actually listen the whole way through. Those of you that are coming back in bit by bit, wherever you are in the conversation, love having your presence and honor how you're showing up for yourself. Number 10 is space. The King's practice is creating a loving and inspiring space where every family member can thrive in emotional safety. Indigenous studies, they call it the evolved nest. It's like a safe nest that protects every member in it to feel a depth of emotional safety, of nurturing, of appreciation, of love, of acceptance, honoring. You know, it's like, how is your space? How is your home? Are you like a tsunami? Have you trained yourself? Have you reached that? Again, look at your foundation. Have you learned to self-love and accept all your inner state, your shape, showing up consciously? Do you find stillness? Are you loving and accepting your story? The blame, the shame, the icky bits that come up in you? Because only from that inner mastery can you create a space for your family where in your space, in the space that you are in with your heart presence, only when you start really loving and accepting yourself can you hold space for others in a safe way where they feel loved and honored and not judged, and they feel safe that they can have an emotional meltdown, they can have a bad day, they can have a moment when they're in total confusion, and you're not going to intrude with, oh, but you shouldn't be, why are you angry, or oh, why are you confused, and you end up just coming in, storming in with solutions that they don't need a solution, they just need like a kingly, fatherly presence. Your woman needs a king where you can just hold space and let them figure out their own truth, their own healing in their own time, and you're fine. How is your space, your home, that beautiful sacred castle of yours? Out of 10, 1 to 10, you know, it's like, or is it unsafe? Is there a lot of bitey judgments from you? Do you end up not being very present, you know, more distracted by watching TV and scrolling and, you know, all of these other things that distract your attention and presence from them, where, you know, they're coming back with issues, with emotions, but you're not fully there for them? Where are you in that? Again, no shame, but just important to become aware. It's space relationship as well. How is your space, the energetic space with your woman as you relate with her? Is that safe? Your home space. And then extending beyond that, you know, the space where you choose to live. So there's your physical home and that energy of the home inside. But where are you in relationship to nature? It's really important to relate with nature and have your space in nature. If not, if you're living in a town, that you, yourself and your family get time in nature together. Get time to retreat to, you know, a natural world that brings us back home. It's so essential. Then we get to mission. And the mission is at the top. Does that mean it's at the top because it's the most important thing? You know, there's a lot of Maslow's pyramid of human needs, and it's like, oh, self-actualization is at the top. Well, indigenous tribes had it at the bottom, so it's like, you know, it's like self-actualization was the most important thing. There's no order. Well, there is an order. It's like the self-mastery is most important. The mission is essential. You know, I don't want you to listen to me when I speak about mission and go, oh, well, Mark says, you know, my work is not important, it's all about marriage. No. It's not all about marriage and it's not all about self-mastery. Your outward mission is important. Yet the thing is, and like all mystical traditions speak to this, you know, the inner world peace and calm and love that you come from within yourself, that becomes like the paint for the mission that you will paint on the outside. You know, you will imbue the energetic that's live in you into that mission. So it's really important to self-mastery that you come from the most inspired inner state within yourself and come into that mission. Yet the mission is essential. It's really important that our masculine core have a mission that's something that's bigger than us. The king's practice is to create... Well, It's the king's practice is serving a purpose that's bigger than himself, that leaves a legacy of love and hope. That's service. It's mission. Something that's bigger than the problems that you face. It's bigger than, you know, when we get caught in a fear-induced society that bombards us with economic crisis, environmental crisis, there's crises everywhere, there's polarized shit. We just like, that is done so that we will retreat within ourselves and just keep our small, little, small-minded existence alive. And as long as we have food on the table, a bit of money, we're doing okay. Just keep all that shit out. We close our heart. We close our potentiality. We close our mind to the epic service we can bring. It's important to leave something bigger than you, to focus your mind and heart on something that, you know, some purpose that, and it doesn't have to be big, you know, like big, oh, million guys, 10 million, you know, a local change, a mission where you're changing your way of living so that, you know, you mightn't do anything formal to spread that message on the outside, like a podcast or writing a book or any, or like, you know, starting courses for people. Your change could just be silently showing up so potently that your marriage is, you're so happy and content and your marriage is such an example and your kids are such an example that between now and you leaving this beautiful planet, you know, physically leaving this dance, you will have impacted thousands of lives merely by just embodying such a peaceful and happy and healthy way of being. That's a mission in itself. But so long as you have like a conscious awareness of, well, this is an intention. I intend to live this type of an example. It imbues something beyond. It allows your psychology fly, your wings spread and you fly. Salary is an important part of mission. So many issues and so many divorces and separations comes from arguments on how couples are relating to money. The king's practice is to create an income in alignment with his values and be financially literate to keep his family safe and secure and his highest vision on course. To create income in alignment with values, I'm not speaking here that it's essential to change your job. Some guys can get a bit reactive and go, oh, what do you mean? Like, what's wrong with my job? But quite often what's happening is guys are working in places that is zapping their soul of aliveness. It's like they're looking around, they're constantly, they don't like the people they're working with. They don't like the philosophy of the company or the corporation or, you know, the service. It's just all profit oriented. There's no connection with the client being a human being or, you know, it's like, it's just an environment that alienates you from meaningful work, alienates you from, you know, your spiritual self, your core values as a man. I do find it important to bring a question mark to this. It mightn't, I'm not saying, you know, if you have a question mark on this, I'm not saying, you know, that there's a pressure. You need to change now. But like, how does that 5-year vision reflect your relationship with your work? If your work is deeply out of alignment with your core values, you know, are you preparing a foundation for a future potential switch or an upgrade of your role within the company that would be more fulfilling, would be more in alignment with your truth? It's important, because otherwise you're going to become resentful, you're going to tighten up, and that type of stress, you know, from a perspective of, you can, and some guys can put a high value, it's like, oh, but you know, like my family needs it, and like my kids going to college, and you know, my wife have needs, and you know, it's for the family home, and we'll put a high value on the things we're providing, which are sacred, but we deny that this is killing us day by day in the day job, and that we're feeling a little less alive, a little less alive, a little less alive. And when we're feeling a little less alive and we're denying our warriorship, our inner truth, and you know, coming to the surface for the sake of providing for the family, that over a number of years, over the decades, you're gone. And that is happening, men. Their warrior essence, their truth, that young revolutionary badass guy that was in his, you know, late teens, early 20s, is like, where is that guy gone? And there's a lot of heavy, tight, rigid rationalizing, where when a man goes, oh, but you know, in this job and blah 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 blah, I hear this with guys. I've seen transformation of guys younger years, massively inspiring, badass, what they were doing in college and university, early adult days, and then they got really strict and grounded and serious and rational. It's like, where's the passion? Where's the love? It's like, those guys go home every single day to the woman. They might have the money. They might have the money to give the car, to give the house, to educate their kids, to put food on the table, but their woman will not be so attracted by that. And she will get rational. And sex dies. Sexual attraction dies. Aliveness dies. So, you know, it mightn't be, I'm not saying that you need to change today, but bit by bit, are you setting a foundation that you will create a way of bringing income? Income is sacred. I don't go shaming, you know, money as a concept, as an idea. But are you aligning yourself to be able to show up in a way that as you bring in income, as you do the sacred providing, you're inspired, you're in connection with who you truly are? That really allows you go off to work, jump out of bed in the morning going, yes, a good day to be alive, because the next, you know, 7, 8, 9 hours of work, you're on mission. You're in mission mode. That's a full expression of the truth of who you are. And when you come home, or if you're working at home, I mean, it's just that level of passion and inspiration and joy that your work brings as you provide money. It's your emotional state. You're permeating your whole family life, your intimate life, with a feeling of aliveness that your woman is like, oh, I'm on fire because look at my man. That's salary. So there's salary, service, and then last but not least, I mean, it's like, maybe this is the pinnacle of the whole lot. Shepherd. Shepherd is, you know, the shepherd of the sheep. And it's parenting. King's practice is to lead his children in ways that serves their most confident and resilient selves to emerge. So important. And yet, when the entire world is systematized to bring distraction, to bring emotional dissociation, actually, that level of fear that is we're being bombarded with and stimulated fear in us, we dissociate, so we're not present. Disconnects families, it disconnects kids with their parents. I was looking at cartoon patterns, my queen was reflecting back. It's like all the modern cartoons tend to have the protagonist kid in conflict with their parents. The dad normally is a nice guy, placid, has no cock, no balls energy, has no strength, or he's a downright imbecile. He's just a fool. He's a foolish character. And a lot of the time, the women, the sacred mother, is overbearing. She's not giving freedom to her daughter, to her child. There's like overprotective, and the child has to find, by a lone wolf journey, they have to find their truth and their freedom and be the hero by themselves. This is conditioning our kids to disconnect from us, not to trust parents. Subconsciously, we can deny the truth of this, but it's like it's really potently destructive in our capacity to show up as parents. So how do we show up as parents and be inspiring and create that? And part of the shepherding, actually, if you if you systematically, and in this system, approach it systematically, and all of these, you know, if you're reaching to expand and find marginal gains and opportunities to improve your level of stillness, you get out into nature, you know, you do breath work, meditation, you find solitude, your sight, you create a vision for yourself, for your intimate relationship, for your married life, which includes your shepherding. And, you know, you have a vision, you're going on that, you're tuned in, tapped in, turned on, you're motivated, you're focused, you're not distracted. Then you're looking at your kids. You become aware of your sight. You know, you're looking at your kids. You're more present with them. Your shape. You are the embodiment of somebody that's in good shape. You're alive. You're fit. You're vigorous. You're healthy. What an embodiment is that? An example for your kids. Postural awareness and conversation. Then your kids learn. Wow. They model their dad. It's like, yeah, he's just grounded. That's how they start showing up with postural awareness. Your state. Your mastery of that. You see all of the different things that lead in this system. You show up and you're incessantly, week by week, day by day, week by week, month by month, as the years go by, you're just using this system to nudge to what, you know, how can I get from a 3 out of 10 to a 5, 6 out of 10? How can I get from 8 out of 10 to a nudge more? How can I just make a plant a seed of progress in this realm? Constantly your kids are looking on at you. They're learning. Their mirror neurons are soaking up. They're going to embody their version of your highest version. They will seek to emulate that. You want to be the man that sets the standard for the type of man. And your daughter could find a woman, your son could find a man, of course, but you know where I'm getting at. You want to be the man that represents masculinity for your kids. So whatever way your kids choose to relate intimately with masculinity, whether it's in deep intimate, getting married, sexually, whatever way they choose to do that, they've got, like, you've set the standard. And kids won't go underneath those standards. They'll have a set standard. So by your systematic upgrading of this, that's the highest parenting. Sometimes, often what I'm seeing, what I did for years, is men showing up and they're nowhere near mastering their inner world. They're nowhere near mastering their state, their story, their mindset, their relationships. And then they try and make up in parenting and tell the kids how they should do it. They get intrusive. And kids find it hard. And then it's like, a lot of times parents, men, can try and subconsciously create the kids the way they want to see them. You know, it's like, child actually enjoys playing with butterflies and being out in nature. That's just like, no, they end up only giving the child attention when he does sports, when he does football, or because why? Daddy did football, but daddy didn't get so far in football and he wants his son to be like on the national team. Whatever, you know, you live out your long lost dreams yourself with your son, and that can be projected onto daughters as well. Like, this is not interfering with their truth. Creating that evolved nest idea that nurtures them, yes, challenges them, part of conscious masculine presence in parenting and shepherding your kids is, yeah, direct feedback, but making it safe and making sure that it only comes at moments when it's absolutely necessary, that they end up having this balance of the feminine nurturing space where their expression, their words, their state is always safe to be expressed. And then the odd time is like, hey, you know, I'm going to say no to this. And you give the reason. They understand. And because there's a balance in it, they respect your disciplined approach. But it's not, it's in balance. Kingly Brothers, around the planet. I'm going to take a drink. My voice is a little bit, I know I've been talking for an hour and a half. That's the system. As I said at the beginning, I can ratify, and the guys I'm coaching, and as I say, men in men's groups, I haven't launched, like, this is the first time I'm actually speaking this out, launching it, if you want to say, formally in the world, letting the world know about it. But I know that individually, every single one of these, when you optimize, if you just optimize one of these, your marriage will go a bit better. A good bit better. Just one of them. All put together. As you navigate the chaos and the silliness and the... in this profoundly sick society that just fucking bombards us with crap. Look at society. I mean, I don't need to get too revolutionary here, but just look at society. It ain't so great. Look at divorce rates. That's not a good sign. You're getting worse and worse. Just look at sickness rates. It's worse and worse. Look at mental health. I mean, having a system that allows you as a man, you as a husband, you as a lover, you as a father, systematically show up a little bit better every day with embodied hope, knowing that no matter how intense today is, tomorrow, with this system, with my awareness, with my conscious engagement, tomorrow is going to be a little bit better than today. I just know. Because this episode, I'm going to take that insight, I'm going to keep going back through it. And, you know, these little insights and my implementation of them, I'm getting the feedback from you guys that, you know, when you take these insights and you just tweak it a little bit, today it could be, oh, I'm just going to get a bit more solitude in nature, you know, from listening in today, or, you know, whatever part of it. I'm just going to start jogging. I've been talking about jogging. I need to get back in shape, because whatever the insight is for you, and every man will have different ones, but you just tweak it. And you know, repeatedly coming back to this episode, to this system, it's 13 points, and you know, you just tweak it and find marginal gains in all of these. You know for sure. You've got a map in your hand, and you know for sure, if you just keep tweaking them a little bit, almost imperceptible, just a little bit, no radical change needed, little bit by little bit, 3 months' time, much different, I guarantee you. 6 months' time, definitely. 12 months' time, off the fucking charts. Now, in all of this, and I'm super excited to be speaking to this, you can feel that there's a heating up of, you know, the movement, the podcast is expanding, my work here, the clarity coming into conscious competence, having this system. One thing, you know, the podcast, I got one guy saying to me recently, he's like, oh, the only thing I need is a podcast. That's amazing. It was amazing feedback. And like, if you can do it, you know, just listening in to the podcast, I want this podcast to be like so inspiring that you can feel hope that tomorrow is going to be a bit better, and that your whole life will be, and marriage and everything, sex life, parenting, the whole lot will be better just from the podcast alone. Wow, fucking wow. That's the peak, my peak intention for the podcast. However, what I would say is it's really important to have support. And I'm consciously bringing this. I'm super pumped and excited to be sharing with you. I have a men's group already going. I've been co-leading a men's group. So I'm opening up, but I'm opening up a men's group in the coming weeks and months ahead for a small group of deeply committed men that are listening in now. Guys, I'm connected. I'm going to be opening up this sacred space where it's going to be a men's group. You're going to have direct coaching from me on your blind spots that you cannot see. By definition, blind spots. Every man, I have my own blind spots. I require coaching and men's group support, feedback from myself the whole time. Direct coaching, helping you get to your truth, helping you find what's holding you back from your greatest deep intimate life as a married man, in your parenting, in your mission. Just go be setting your life up to be on fire in mastery, marriage and mission. But it's going to be coming through the lens of this system. Continually, cyclically going through this system and all of these pillars of the system, going, well, how are you? Where are you at that? There's going to be processes and exercises that we will do in the group, and coaching to make sure. And you're going to be in a group of, you know, potent, powerful other guys that are showing up with the absolute and commitment, dedication, devotion and intention to live their have it all married life, to have the best sexual relationship, to have the best intimate communication relationship. Potent guys, that's not available out there. So I'm excited to have that space. I'm planting the seed in your mind. That's coming available for you. Definitely at the support element to engage in this systematic way of going at your life. I mean, it's off the charts too, what one-on-one coaching what that makes available. Going through this systematic approach in one-on-one coaching with me. At the end of every episode, I have the coaching link there. One conversation is enough to change your life forevermore. That's my commitment, how I show up, but like coaching over a whole year. So I just want to ring that bell and make you aware that support, it's important to have powerful men on your side. I have that structure for myself. I have my own men's group that challenge my ass to show up more powerfully, more potently, to call me out in my shit and my blind spots. Like, it's been off the charts, my growth, from having direct, masculine, powerful, conscious support of other beautiful, heart-centered men. But this space here is going to be unique, that is being launched soon, because it's for married men. I'm going to speak to this in episodes coming up. Just flagging your awareness now, putting the neon lights out there. There's very few men's spaces that are set up for married men. The octagon of married life, as you already know as a man, has unique challenges as a man. So this space would be for married men. Parenting brought in, married life, everything, all your challenges and how you can upgrade like never before and enjoy a level of freedom, a level of connection, a level of sexual attraction, a level of your woman fucking bragging about you. Be the husband she brags about. Like, that's the whole point and purpose. And why not? You deserve that. You deserve love. You deserve honoring. You deserve to have a feeling of hope that tomorrow, the rest of your life is going to be better than ever before. The best is yet to come. On all levels, sexual connection with your woman, etc., etc., etc. You deserve that, and you deserve to have the strategies that, with your courageous implementation, the strategies and the tactics that are the highest leverage available to you as a man, as a husband, as a lover, as a father, etc. That is the game of what we're playing. Extending love to you, extending deep honoring for you, man. You're showing up as a king, listening in to hear. I mean, this is challenging stuff. It's direct masculine challenge for you to bring your best yet to life, your conscious presence, your courage, your humility, your best self to the game. I honor and acknowledge you for showing up consistently here. I honor you for your implementation. I honor you as the man that you are already. There's so much honoring for how you're showing up already and express love and acceptance for that. But I honor the husband you're being, the lover you're being, because I know all of you guys are listening in and you deeply want to show up in a way that like lights your woman's heart up and your heart up and enjoy marriage, enjoy it and enjoy bliss and happiness and create a beautiful connection there. And from there, you know, hold space for your kids, if you have kids, or if kids are going to be a part of your life, create a beautiful legacy that the next generation will know infinitely better, in a better way than we were informed coming in to marriage, how it's done, how it can be done, that it's a limitless playground of joy. And it's, you know, you're the artist. It's a blank canvas. Get painting. With deep bows and big love, as we always end, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Your engagement is that important.